have to do with prophecy. No one can tell the time that the Lord is coming. No one. And I don't pretend to know when it's coming. I've always believed Israel would be attacked before 2008. But I've always told you quite frankly and quite honestly that that's just an opinion on my part that could be wrong. That the Antichrist will attack Israel from the north is a fact. When is problematical, and I admit that. But I still believe that Israel will be attacked from the north by the Antichrist before 2008. I really believe it will be in 2007. But that's subjective, maybe wrong. It's not subjective that they will be attacked, it's just when. Now, I had some decisions to make in my life and prophecy a long time ago. And the decisions were whether or not I wanted to be popular or whether I wanted to preach what the Bible said. So I'm going to start off on this morning. I'm going to show you what the scriptures say. Tonight's business meeting, but they don't usually last very long. And so I'll try to finish this up tonight after business meeting. But it's something that I have believed for a very long time. And it's something that I think is very appropriate for the present time, because I don't think it's going to be too much longer until Israel is attacked from the north. And a lot of this stuff began. Now, in our work, I would say the vast majority of the preachers believe that we're going to be whisked out of here and we're not going to suffer at all during the tribulation period. I don't believe that. I think a lot of God's children are going to be martyred. They're not going to be martyred by God. And the faithful of God's children are not going to be punished by God. They're not going to be judged by God. There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible you have to reconcile. If you ignore a lot of them, you can come up with a real wonderful picture of all of us being caught up out of here, never having to go through any suffering, never having to go through any trouble, any trial, or anything. And I listened to that, and I don't believe that. So when I come before the judgment seat of Christ, since I have to answer to him for what I teach, I'm going to talk to you about some end time events, and they're going to be kind of unpleasant. So bear with me, and whatever I don't finish this morning, I'll try to finish tonight. God's faithful children will not have God's seal and trumpet's horrid judgment kill them. But some will be martyred for their testimony by Antichrist men. If you're a faithful child of God, you stand a pretty good chance, reasonable, maybe 1 out of 20, who knows? Maybe 1 out of 100, maybe 1 out of 1,000. But you stand a pretty good chance of being martyred for your testimony and your belief. You're not going to be judged by God. And these horrible events of the tribulation period that have to do with earthquakes and famines and pestilences, you know, all these terrible things. If you're a faithful child of God, you don't have to worry about that. And you really shouldn't worry about being martyred. It'll be one of the greatest things that ever happened to us, because it'll be for our testimony for Jesus Christ. Now in Revelation 6, 9 through 11, this is the scripture that I use to make my case. Pretty hard to argue against it, because this is just what it says. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And I'm doing this because you need to think about this. Don't block it out. It's something that's coming. Revelation 6, 9, and 11. It's a heavenly scene. It occurs just before Israel is attacked. Just before the Antichrist charges down against Israel. At the same time in heaven, he presents us a picture of all those before who've gone on, who were martyred, killed, butchered for their testimony of Christ. And for the testimony of God, for the word of God. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. At this point in time, The attack against Israel has not yet occurred. It occurs on the sixth seal. And he's giving you a preview of what's under the throne in heaven, under the altar, I should say, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, these are those who up to this point in time, going all the way back into the Old Testament, right up to the very time before the attacks of Israel, are people who have been killed, martyred, for the testimony which they held and for the word of God. They haven't yet received their glorified body, their souls in heaven. Now notice what they cry. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" He said, they say, "Lord, when are you coming back? When are you going back? When are we going back with you? When are you going to come down and end all this and avenge our blood on those that killed us because of our testimony for you and for the word of God?" And this is the answer. "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and outer garments, the reward of faithful service to the Lord." In this case, martyrdom. Now notice what he says. "And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season." The little season is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, or at least most of it. The last 3.5 years begins when the Antichrist attacks Israel from the north and overruns the city of Jerusalem. And from that time until the very end of the tribulation period, a period of 3.5 years, there will be a lot of people that will be martyred, killed, slain for the same reason they were slain, right up until what we call the rapture occurs. Now, God's wrath is not going to be poured out on any of his children, whether they're faithful or unfaithful. Faithful or unfaithful does not determine whether you go to heaven. It determines on what kind of a reward you receive when you are in heaven. And I'm just going to put it to you bluntly. For those who God deems faithful, you stand a chance of being martyred for your testimony of it. That's a good way to go. It's the best way to go. Now, I'm also going to make a statement about the unfaithful saved. This is the most unfaithful generation that has ever lived. There are more unfaithful people, saved unfaithful people, than there ever have been in any generation before this. Well, I've got some good news for you. You're not going to be martyred. You will not be martyred. You say, "Well, that's good news." Now I got some bad news for you. You're going to be affected by some of these horrifying events where hail, fire, and brimstone come down from heaven, where every mountain and island are moved, where wormwood comes down and falls on this planet, and you are going to suffer in the flesh for your unfaithfulness. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Are you sure you don't believe it because you'd rather believe otherwise? Now notice what he says here. "And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants and also their brethren should be killed as they were." So don't tell me that people aren't going to be martyred in the tribulation period. And he's not going to martyr a bunch of unfaithful people. They're going to be punished by God's judgment. The wrath of God are the 7 vials of wrath. But the 7 seals that precede the 7 trumpets, which precede the 7 vials of wrath, are God's judgment on both the lost and the unfaithful saved. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. since I believe these times are coming on the earth, I'm presenting this message to you because you need to be faithful. If you think I'm trying to get you to be more faithful, you're right. But if you think I'm trying to do it because it benefits me, you're wrong. It's because it benefits you. And you better think about these things, because although I cannot assure you that the attack will occur before 2008, I do know it is not too long after that. Revelation 24. Here we are nearing the final parts of Revelation, chapter 22 being the last chapter, chapter 21. But this is actually after the second advent. This is when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation period with all the saints back to the earth. This is what he says. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads and their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They were martyrs for the cause of Christ. And they're going to reign with Christ. What about the lost? Their souls are still in hell here. And 1,000 years later, their souls will be joined with their old bodies, and both body, soul, and spirit will be cast into a lake of fire. What about the unfaithful saved? What about those that trusted in Christ and were saved and sealed eternally? They're going to go to heaven. They're going to live on this new earth after Jesus comes back. But they're not going to reign with Christ. Reigning with Christ is based on faithfulness. And it's not up to me, it's up to you individually and personally how faithful you want to be to God. And your answer ought to be, well, how faithful does he want me to be? You'll find the answer right in here. Revelation 12:7. This is in the second half of the tribulation period, after the Antichrist attacks in Revelation 12:6 and Revelation 12:14. And notice what happens here. And the dragon, the devil, was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't tell me a rapture is going to occur at the beginning of the tribulation period. It's not. And don't tell me there aren't people still here keeping the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ after the Antichrist attacks. There are. And don't tell me they aren't keeping the commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. They are. And don't tell me that some of them are not going to be martyred because of it. Now listen to me. The faithful saved, some of them are going to be martyred. But none of the unfaithful saved will be martyred. They're going to be judged by God. And the terrifying events that occur during the seals and the trumpets, many of them are going to be killed by them. Oh, they're not going to hell. But be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let me tell you that God is a God of justice. And if you think that you can run through your life after you're saved and not pay a price for not serving God, you're wrong. And some of that payment is going to be made between the attack of Antichrist and the rapture, the catching out. And the ones who are not going to be affected by all these terrible things that come upon the earth in the seals and the vials are the faithful. They're the ones that are going to have an opportunity to be martyred. But many of the unfaithful are going to die in this mess. And it will be just retribution for refusing and failing to yield your life to Christ after he saved you. Now you make the choice, not me. But before I leave this planet, I'm at least going to put it to you straight. Revelation 11, 6 and 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, these are the two witnesses. In Revelation 11, 6 and 8, before the blowing of the seventh trumpet, which is when the rapture occurs. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, the Antichrist, that ascended out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, overcome them, and kill me. They're going to be murdered. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. But what about the unfaithful saved? What happens to them? I feel like my life is drawing to a close. And before I die, I want my conscience to be clear when I appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So I'm going to show you exactly what I believe without any reservation or hesitation. There will be a period of judgment on the earth, seven seals and seven trumpets. But those are not the wrath of God. They are the judgment of God. And they are a judgment. They are a judgment on both the unfaithful saved and the lost. Both the unfaithful saved and the lost are afflicted by the judgment plague. Faithful saved are not punished by God. But praise God, they will have an opportunity to give their very lives for their testimony and for their witness of Jesus Christ. Now, when the rapture occurs, all of the unfaithful saved and all the faithful are going to be judged. They're going to be raptured out, caught up to heaven on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And in heaven, both the faithful and the unfaithful are going to be judged for reward. The unfaithful will have paid the price in their own flesh for their unfaithfulness. And this generation is the most unfaithful generation that ever set foot on this planet. And at the judgment seat of Christ, none of the unfaithful will go to hell, but the rewards will be passed out. And don't expect a great reward in heaven unless you spent your life trying to please God rather than to please yourself and your own emotions. Pre-rapture, unfaithful, saved, and lost. This is what I believe. It's what I teach. It's what I believe. But before I die, I want to put it in unmistakable, plain terms. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Every one of you sitting here has a corrupt seed. Every one of you. And some of you, it's just in your flesh. But some of you also have an incorruptible seed. It's your belief in the Word of God and what it testifies of Jesus Christ, that He came, He suffered, He bled, He died on Calvary's cross for your sins, took your sins in His own body on the tree, was resurrected from the dead, and ascended into heaven as the only man in heaven now who is as righteous as God and is God Himself. And if you put your faith in Him, He lives in you. And every day your soul has to make a choice between the corruptible seed in your flesh and the incorruptible spirit in you. And that is what determines your degree of unfaithfulness or faithfulness before God. How well you respond to the Spirit of Christ in you, as opposed to how often and how frequently and how much you respond to the corruptible seed that's in your flesh. You better wake up, and you better start to realize that judgment is coming, and you better start looking forward to the coming of Christ by being faithful, because I don't think these things are in the far distant future. Now, after the rapture occurs, the only ones left down here are the lost. And that's when God's wrath is poured out. I won't be here. God will have made His decision in the tribulation period as to the degree of my faithfulness. If I was faithful in His eyes enough, He may allow me to be murdered. And so be it. I thank God for the opportunity. But I'm sincerely hoping I won't be considered so unfaithful that I will die in one of these earthquakes or one of these fire and brimstone displays or in Wormwood or any of these other horrors that come on the earth. Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm going to reap what I sow. God's going to make the decision of whether I'm unfaithful or faithful. And this book is what he's going to use to make the decision. And the same identical thing is true for you. And you better wake up. We don't have a lot of time. Luke 21, 34 through 36. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfaces, drunkenness, disorderly conduct, carousing. This is written to God's children. And drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. We have a lot of people on this earth that are saved and who are going to heaven because salvation is by grace. But they are so caught up with carousing, the joys of the flesh, deluding themselves, and the cares of this life, that day is going to catch them flat-footed. A snare was what they used to catch an animal. And they put a stick in front of a box. And when the animal tripped the stick, the box fell on him. And the animal was suddenly surprised and caught inside the box with no way out. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. This is not just on the unfaithful saved, the faithful saved, and the lost. It's coming on all men. The question is, which way do you want to lose your life in the tribulation period? By the possibility of being martyred because you're so faithful? Or by the possibility of being killed because you've been so unfaithful by the judgment of God? Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that shall come to pass. I don't want to be killed in an earthquake because I was unfaithful. I don't want to be killed in a fiery brimstone volcano because I was unfaithful. I don't want to be killed by wormwood because I was unfaithful. I want to escape those things. I don't want to escape the tribulation period. I want to go into it. And I want an opportunity to be faithful in it. I sure don't want to be accounted unworthy to escape God's judgment. I want to be accounted worthy to escape God's judgment, not to be killed by it. For these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's not talking about the judgment of the saved. All the saved are going to be judged after the rapture in heaven, both the faithful and the unfaithful. That's not talking about that. And to stand before the Son of Man. It means to be in his presence in heaven. And to be near him and in his immediate presence for all eternity. That's what I want. I want to be counted worthy, not to be judged and punished in the tribulation period for my conduct as unfaithful servant. I want to be able to be where Christ is, and I want to be accounted worthy, not to be killed by the events of the seals and trumpets. I want to be here and I want to live. And if I perish by martyrdom, so be it. I relish the opportunity. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, 4 through 6 and 9. But ye, Himaeus, plural, brethren, members of the church at Thessalonica, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. If you're a faithful member of one of God's churches and they're teaching and preaching the truth and you're one of the brethren, you shouldn't be overtaken as a thief when this comes. Today in our work, most of the preachers are teaching the Lord's going to catch us out at the first of the week, and that's their right and their privilege. But they don't think they have any problem, and they're going to be taken by surprise just like this snare animal, and they're going to be caught up in the middle of it, and most of the people that believe this aren't faithful in their attendance. They're hitting this. Because they think whatever they do doesn't matter and it doesn't count. They're going to be whisked out of here. No problem. That is not true. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That's what you need to do. This isn't some child's game that's coming up. It's very, very real. Now, I do have some good news for both the faithful and the unfaithful. Whether you're faithful or unfaithful, God is not going to pour his wrath out on you. But the wrath are the seven vials of God's wrath. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So I assure you that the vials of wrath, the seven vials of wrath, if you're unfaithful, you don't have to worry about that. If you're faithful, you don't have to worry about it. If you're unfaithful, you better start being concerned about the fact that during the tribulation period, you may have God's judgment passed on you for your unfaithfulness, and you might actually be killed by a judgment of God, not by martyrdom, if you're unfaithful. Is it so much for God to ask you to be faithful, considering what he did on the cross? I don't think that's a travesty. I don't think it's wrong. I think it's very just and very fair. The unfaithful saved and the lost in the tribulation. The unfaithful saved and the lost in the tribulation. I was introduced to the split rapture concept in the late 70s. I must say that I can understand why some believe it. It makes a lot of sense. With so many unfaithful saved people in these last days, which I believe far exceed the number of unfaithful saved in any previous generation, the split rapture makes sense. And it answers a lot of questions. I do not believe it, but I can certainly see why some hold it. And I don't stand in opposition to it. I just happen to believe that the punishment is going to be meted out in the tribulation period to the unfaithful saved by the judgment of God through the seals and the trumpets. And that's where I differ. But I'm showing you what I believe and why I believe it. While I am not a split rapture advocate, I do believe that all the unfaithful saved are going to be judged physically in the flesh for their unfaithfulness during a large part of the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period. There's a simple solution to this problem. Just start being faithful. You say, well, what about the past? Forgetting those things that are behind, Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget the past. Consider from right now forward. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? You say, well, I don't have long. Well, make the best of what you've got left. If you think I'm preaching and teaching this just to get you to be faithful so we can put your name on a church roll or so we can call you down to the front and pat you on the back, you're quite wrong. This is for your benefit. And if there ever was a time in your life or in a generation where people need to turn back and start being faithful to God and his local church, it's now. While I'm not a split rapture advocate, I do believe that all the unfaithful saved are going to be judged physically in the flesh for their unfaithfulness during a large part of the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period, but will be called out on the blowing of the seventh trumpet prior to the seven vials of God's wrath. So what does all this boil down to? If you're lost, get saved and get faithful. If you're saved already, get faithful. If you say, well, I'm already faithful enough. If you have that attitude, my friend, you are not faithful enough. The events of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period contain judgment for all still on the earth, both saved and lost, up to the blowing of the seventh trumpet. The events of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period contain judgment for all still on the earth, both the saved and the lost, up to the blowing of the seventh trumpet. The seven vials that follow the seventh trumpet are the wrath of God poured out on only the lost after the seventh trumpet rapture. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the wrath of God? What does the book say? Revelation 16:1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. The rapture occurs in Revelation 11, 18. Revelation 11, 15 and Revelation 11, 18. This is five chapters later. It occurs after the attack of the Antichrist. It occurs after the seals and the trumpets on the last trumpet. How much time will we have left after the rapture on this earth? How much time is left? I don't know. But I know that these events are about to kick in motion. I know the unsaved will still be here on the earth suffering God's wrath, the lost. And I know that both the unfaithful and faithful saved are going to be taken out on the blowing of the seventh trumpet and judged in heaven. The judgment on all up to trumpet number seven. This is what's going to happen on this earth. It's the judgment on all up to trumpet number seven. It will affect the lost, and it will affect the unfaithful saved. This is God's judgment. It is not the wrath of God. And many unfaithful saved are going to be killed in this time. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And if you think this is bad, this is judgment. These are the seals and the trumpets. And if you think this is bad, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. The vials of wrath follow this. The saved won't be here, faithful or unfaithful, but the lost will. The wrath of God is poured out on the lost. This is that time when the wrath of God is poured out on the lost. For there shall be great tribulation. This is the bad stuff. This is the wrath of God. We've had earthquakes. We've had comets hit the earth. We've had famines. We've had pestilence. We've had volcanic eruptions. We've had all that. But this is the worst that has ever happened in the history of mankind. It's the wrath of God following the seals and trumpets poured out in seven vials. Matthew 24, 21, 22. For then shall be great tribulation. This is only on the lost. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. What does it mean, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened? It means that they won't have to go through the entire 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It means for them they're going to be shortened, both the faithful and the unfaithful saved. It means they won't be here through the full 1,260 days, what's known as times, times and half a time, what's known as 42 months. They won't be here through the full 3.5 years of the tribulation period, because for the elect's sake, and the unfaithful saved are as elected as those who are faithful, they're going to be shortened by the rapture. The elect's days are shortened because they will not see the wrath of God. For the rapture occurs on the blowing of the seventh trump. The lost will go all the way through all of the 3.5 years. But the rapture will occur here on the blowing of the seventh trumpet. And for these people who were unfaithful or faithful, they're going to be shortened. It won't be the full 3.5 years. The elect's days are shortened because they will not see the wrath of God, for the rapture occurs on the seventh trumpet. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kings of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Where are the saved people now? Some of them are here. I'm one of them, still in the flesh. Some of the saved souls are in heaven and their bodies are in graves. Some of them are here on this earth. Some of them are in heaven. But for the first time in history, on the blowing of the seventh trumpet, they're all going to be caught up. And for the first time, the entire kingdom of God is in heaven, and all the lost are left on this earth to suffer punishment. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kings of this world become the kings of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's Revelation 11:15. Okay, there they go. Who's in heaven? All the saved. Have all the saved ever been there before? No. But now, the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kings of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Now they're all there for the first time. What are you going to do with them now? The saved, both faithful and unfaithful, the saved are judged in heaven by Jesus. What are they judged for? For reward. Well, what's it like on earth while they're up in heaven? And the nations were angry. You've already had seven seals, seven trumpets, and it's no wonder the nations are angry. They're angry down to the tips of their toes. But the wrath of God is five chapters away in the 16th chapter of Revelation. And the battle of Armageddon is in Revelation 16:16. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. God's wrath hasn't come at this point. It doesn't come until after the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And thy wrath has come. His wrath has come on the earth, on the lost, and the time of the dead. I only know one time for a dead man, when he comes back to life out of the grave. What are you going to do with all these people in heaven that have been resurrected from the dead or instantly changed at the rapture which occurred on the trumpet? You're going to judge them. What are you going to judge them for? Well, you've got to resurrect them to judge them. What are you going to judge them for? That thou should be judged. Judge for what? Heaven or hell? No. Judge for what kind of reward they receive in heaven, which will actually depend on where they live in heaven. Not whether they go there, but where they live there. Thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. This is the judgment seat of Christ, and the rewarding of rewards based on the degree of faithfulness to all the saved of all the ages. This last verse is very interesting because it tells you what God is doing on the earth while they're being judged in heaven. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. This word destroy means to morally, utterly corrupt to the core. It's translated corrupt in Galatians. And shouldest destroy them which morally destroy the earth. They are all lost on the earth, and God's wrath is being poured on them. The day of the Lord is for both saved and lost. That's God's judgment, not wrath. But the day of the Lord is not one single day. It can be, but sometimes it's a much longer period of time. Luke 21:34-36. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And don't tell me that that can't be a life of a church member. It can. And when I was in North Africa, I caroused. I got drunk a lot. And I was more concerned about this life than I was about the cause of God. So don't tell me I don't understand this. I do. And I thank God he didn't come or take me home while I was there. And so that day come upon you unawares. There are going to be a lot of people in this state, children of God, that are going to be shocked. Boom! Israel's going to be attacked. I say this reverently, and all hell is going to start breaking loose. And those people who have stayed out of church, who don't know anything about prophecy, who don't know anything about the coming of the Lord, and yet they have their faith in him and are saved, they're going to be caught completely by surprise. For as a snare shall it come on all them. All them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that she may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. God's judgment will catch the unfaithful saved, amazed, and unawares. They will be suddenly caught by God's same snare of judgment that comes on the lost, and will be judged on this earth by the plagues that come on it prior to the rapture and the seven vials of his wrath. The faithful will also be on the earth, but God will spare them from the judgment of the plagues prior to the rapture on the sounding of the seventh trumpet. They won't have to worry about God killing them for unfaithfulness. And they shouldn't worry about being martyred for their testimony. The greatest honor God can bestow upon a man or a woman to allow them to do that. The faithful saved will be counted worthy to escape the physical punishment in the flesh for staying in the will of God in their lives. They won't suffer physical punishment from the Lord, but they will from the Antichrist. And thank God for that. What else would he reward you for? The saved, deemed unfaithful by God, will be judged by exposure to the physical plagues prior to the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The faithful members in his churches will be counted worthy to stand before him in his heavenly city and in both the millennial and the final heaven age. All I can do is show you what I've shown you and encourage you to do what Revelation 3:3-4 says, so that God will deem you worthy. Remember, thou for how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. You've heard a lot about the Word of God. You've received a lot of it. You've heard it. Now hold on fast to what you believe and live a life of daily repentance towards God, towards your sin, and live for it. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, just like an animal trapped by a snare. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. There aren't very many faithful people. And thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. Not a question of whether you've defiled your garments in the past. It's a question now of whether you're going to defile them in the future. But they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Remember what it said, stand before the Lord? That's what that's talking about. Now you better think about this. I could give you some cute little ditties, 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and high hole silver away. But I'm warning you, we're not too far away from this. And regardless of how far we are away from it, it's going to happen. Whatever is not right in your life with God, you need to let God straighten it out. And he won't straighten it out unless you come to him. You want to be saved? Only Jesus can save you. You come trusting Jesus, and he'll take care of all the rest. Do I have to tell you need to be baptized if you're saved? You already know it. How can you consider yourself faithful? These things are between you and the Lord. Not between you and me, but between you and the Lord. I hope if God's dealing with you this morning that you'll come and let God take care of whatever the problem is. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word. If God's Spirit's been dealing with your heart, because he cares, because he wants your life to count for something, so that Jesus can reward you in heaven, and so you can be counted worthy to be in the presence of Christ in heaven forever. I hope if God's dealing with you, you'll come this morning.